We're thankful to God for the invitation to come and to share a few minutes with you about God's Word. Thankful to both speakers who've gone before and done an outstanding job. And I want to thank Brother Hall and the eldership here for this invitation to come and to be a part of this great fellowship in this great church. I have had the privilege of preaching all over the world and around the country. I don't think I've ever been to a nicer edifice than this one in the Lord's church. Amen. And I walked all over your stage, and so I hope you don't mind, but it's a beautiful edifice, and we're thankful for this invitation. I bring you greetings from the Southern Hills Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've been together 12 years. We started to work in 04, and we hope that some 70 years from now, when I've long gone and made my transition, that they'll be talking about the Southern Hills work like they talk about the Central work. When Brother Hall called me, he said, Brother Poynter, we want you to come, and we can't pay you anything. And I remembered when I first started speaking how I would have loved for someone just to call me. Just call me. You're waiting and waiting, no call. I would have drove all over the country to get an invitation. So I'm just thankful for this invitation to be here. And I hope something I say today will help you. I know you're serious about that 20 minutes, because he went right to the half minute there. And I'm gonna try not to do the same thing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. My subject is urgent and important. Acts chapter 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, captain of the temple, and the Sadducees were upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on him and put him in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. It came to pass on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for the good deed done to the helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor there is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven by which given among men which we must be saved." Verse 13 is what I want. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. Vision is the bridge between the present and the future. Without it, we go unrestrained. As the New American Standard Bible puts it, vision gives pain a purpose. Those without vision spend their lives taking the path of least resistance, trying to avoid discomfort. The level of sacrifice that a vision requires will sometimes determine the size of people who follow. Sacrifice separates the small from the great. Vision is what we see, but is also the way in which we see. Vision is the lens that interprets the events of our life. And as we work for God, as we do the work of God, we must realize not only is it urgent, but it is important. And I believe it's never seen more evident than in this text. where Peter and John, standing before the Sanhedrin council, doing the work of the Lord. As you read the text, it screams for us to ask the question, why were these men so dedicated to the work of God? Why were they willing to die for the cause? What was it about them that they saw the work of God as urgent and important? If you pick up the text, you see they're being punished for the good deed that was done the day before, the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And when you pick up the story, the Bible teaches us Peter and John standing there weren't afraid to speak the words that they knew. They weren't afraid to speak the words that they were taught. They weren't afraid to tell the people what the words of Jesus Christ were. Being trying to intimidate them, the question was, by what power or by what name have you done this? Listen to Peter as he says, filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're asking me by what account this kindness that we've shown to this young man that was lame, are you asking us how he was healed? Is that what you're asking? These are unlearned men speaking before the highest council. Peter says, boldly be it known to you, the same Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. This is the same man you rejected. He's become chief of the cornerstone. And this is where folks today, they're having a hard time preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't want to talk about the Lord's church. But I like to point out here, I'm trying not to yell at you. I want to point out here where he says salvation is found in none other name, for none other name under heaven by mankind of which we can be saved. And notice when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now, they weren't going to give Peter and John any credit for speaking the truth. They said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of the fact that these had been men that had been with Jesus. What does it mean to have been with Jesus? In order to understand this text, you must understand the relationship between student and teacher. It is similar to that of servant and master. In the days that Jesus lived, school wasn't like it was today, where we put our kids on the bus and we send them off to school and they stay half the day and then they come back and they learn. School wasn't like that in the days that Jesus lived. In the days that Jesus lived, the student-teacher relationship was a full-time thing. The student lived with the teacher. He saw how the teacher lived. He saw how dedicated the teacher was to the work. And in return, the student would do those chores as payment for living with the teacher. And I believe that the work of God will never be important until we become students of the written word of God. You've got to be a student of the word. You can't tell the story if you don't know it. And we have too many people trying to tell it that don't know it. They don't know it. And this is why folks are speaking on philosophy and trying to tell you about all of the greenery and all when what we need to be preaching is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This man whom you crucified, he stands here before you whole. Now, this relationship, and I, again, men at work,
The reason we're going to be at work, you need to know your role. You need to know your role. We have men working, they don't know what their role that they play. They don't know what role they play. Peter and John knew their role. How did they know their role? Because they had been taught by the master. They had lived with him and he had taught them. And that's why they're standing here boldly proclaiming the gospel. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. I can only give you a glimpse of this because I don't have the time, but y'all will get what I'm talking about here, and I believe this will bless you. I believe you'll be able to use this and help somebody. Luke chapter 17. Jesus talked about the relationship similar to servant and master. You know, slave has such a negative connotation as we look at it in this country, but back in the days that Jesus lived, wealthy people as well as poor people owned slaves. They owned slaves. And he used this example to show how we ought to be as servant and master. Now, Jesus starts off by talking about forgiveness. Okay? And when he talks about forgiveness, he tells them that, inversely, if your brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And he went on to say, not only seven, but seven times 70. This was a problem for them. This was a problem for them. You know why I know it was a problem for them? Because at the end, he said, the disciples said, Lord, you have to increase our faith. You have to increase our faith. Well, why do I have to increase your faith? He says, because we're not used to forgiving folks seven times seven, seven times 70. You mean I got to forgive them 70 times? See, we're not used to doing that. We're used to doing some other stuff. Eye for an eye. The cities of refuge. You know the history of the Old Testament. And then Jesus tells them a story. He tells them a story that I believe helps us understand where our role is when it comes down to being men at work. Pick it up at verse 7. Now, y'all going to miss this. If I'm going to back up and tell the story again because I don't want you to miss it. He says, but which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he is coming from the field, go sit down and eat? Or will you not rather say unto him, make ready where I may sup, gird thyself and serve me till I've eaten and drunken to the field? Then you eat and drink. Look at verse 9. Does the master thank that servant because he's done the things that were commanded him? Notice Jesus didn't ask them. This is a command. Does he thank them? And then Jesus answers his own question. I think not. Look at verse 10. So likewise you, when you've done all those things you've been commanded to do, you say we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. Men at work, what's my role? Let's back up again. When you come in from the field, back in Palestine, that was about 3 p.m., the servant got busy taking care of the master. He got his food. He didn't come in saying, oh, I've worked all day, I'm tired, I need to sit down, and before I feed you, and then I'll get you something to eat. No, that's not us. That's not us. He says he gets busy taking care of the master. And then when he's done, then he eats. Look at what he says here. Does the master thank him? No, he doesn't thank him. Not for the things he'd been commanded to do. And then he tells his disciples, so likewise you. When you've done all that you've been commanded to do, here's what we say. The Lord owes me. I've been working hard for this money. I've been in the field all day. I can't make Wednesday night class. I've worked 13 hours. I'm tired. I'm hungry. But what's our role? See, if you want to work for the Lord, you want to be a servant of the Lord? You know what your role is? Your role is to get busy doing the master's bidding. I worked started work yesterday driving that FedEx truck at 4 a.m. Didn't get off till 7 o'clock. I didn't call Brother Hall and say, Brother Hall, I'm tired. I've been working all day. Can't make it. No, I got busy doing the master's bidding. Going home, getting ready, finding the route, getting ready, making haste. And when it came time to get up, I got up with vigor. Why? Because I'm the servant of the Most High God. And what do servants do? Servants do their duty. And that's all they're doing. That's all Peter and John is doing, is their duty. We think the Lord works off the body system. We think the Lord works off the body system. Too many of us come here looking with entitlement. I've been a member of this church some 30 years, 40 years. I'm one of the pillars. All you've done is your duty. That's all you've done. So what's my role? What's my role as man of God? What's my role as men of work, men working? What's my role? My role is to do the master's bidding. And I do it looking for no reward. No reward. Why? Because I'm a servant of the Most High God. So you don't want to know why? Why we preach and teach? There's only one church. I'd love to be able to tell you any church will do. I'd love to be able to tell you that. But Master didn't say that. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm his servant. I said, I wouldn't go yell at you, I'm sorry. And my role is to please Master. And that's all these men are doing. That's all these men are doing. And that's all we need to do. I'm going to my grave believing in the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism. I'm going to my grave believing that the Lord's church is the only church you can be saved in. I'm going to preach it if I'm the only one left standing. I don't care how many people walk out on me, leave me. And let me tell you something, there's no glory in this business. No glory in this business. This is a 24-hour calling. The people you help the most are the main ones that will run out on you. They ran out on us several times. And every time my wife blames me, they don't like me. I said, baby, I can't help it. That's not my role. My role is to preach Jesus and him crucified. And that's all I'm doing. And when they run out, maybe we ought to call them. Maybe we ought to try to get them to come back. I said, baby, have you ever read anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ran anybody down? In fact, we have one account where he says, he stopped feeding them in Mark 6. He says, will you go away also? Peter said, to whom shall we go that has the words of eternal life? Do you hear where he ran those people down, say, hey, come on back, we'll give you something to eat? No, he didn't run them down. He didn't leave them. You're not going to always make good decisions. I had one deacon one time come in my office, didn't like his role, walked out, and never came back. And that night, we took his name off the website, and we moved on. Because my role is to please Master. Master says, love one another. And he even told us how to do it, as I have loved you. None of this stuff we see going on today. He told us, one wife. That's why I love my wife, and I leave yours alone. See, if it hadn't been because of Master, I might have got it mixed up. But he's given us the instructions. And our role, sweet Master, in my final 2 minutes, amen. Amen. You'd be surprised who Jesus can use. You know, sometimes we wonder, we're looking, there's nothing wrong with being educated and having, you need men at work who have the great jobs. But you also need the truck drivers, you also need the bankers, you need everybody. You need everybody. And I'm here to tell you that if the Lord can take a young man out of New York City, dyslexic, barely made it out of high school. In fact, when they went to college, the guidance counselor wanted to know who we knew. I got into a Christian college, said, who you know? My daddy said, we know the Lord. That boy going to school. Yeah, and if God can take someone who was not magna cum laude, in fact, I graduated and said, thank you, Lordy. I was glad to get out. If God can use me, he can also use you. And don't act like you always had it together. Your greatest story is your testimony. Don't act like you always had it together. I got 1 minute. Let me close with this. You know, I have 3 children. I love talking about my children. I learned so much from my children. And my son got out of college, and speaking of college, you know, both my boys, they went and sat down on my money, but they got some college. They got good jobs now, doing well. But he didn't always have it together. Went to school, got some young lady pregnant, came home. They loved each other, couldn't figure out what they wanted to do. They're doing well now. They're married. I married them. And they're doing well, have good jobs. But when she was pregnant with my grandson, he's 6 today, she was sitting on my couch telling me that she was going to just live on her mother's couch because they had nowhere to go. And I told her, I said, you're not going to live on your mother's couch carrying my grandson. And I let her know, that young man will be taken care of. That young man will want for nothing. That young man will always have food on the table. And I was talking to little TJ while he was in the womb. Don't tell me he can't hear. And every time she came, I would talk to him. Let him know, son, you're a pointer. That name means something. My wife said, you an idiot. He ain't listening to you. He's not to you. He's just sitting there talking. And that baby was born. We were all at the hospital. He came out in the incubator. I looked in there and I said, TJ! And that young man looked up at me. This is a true story. Everybody saw it. And he smiled. I turned to my wife and I said, don't you ever tell me that boy don't hear what I'm saying. We have the greatest relationship even now. We have the greatest relationship. It all starts in the beginning. You might not start off right, but don't give up. Doesn't mean you can't end right. Men at work, what's my role? My role as a servant of God is do the master's bidding. God bless you and God keep you.